Hello there, welcome to the Happy Habit Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Norrie. We like to talk health and well-being. We do it every Monday and Thursday. We've been doing it for 2 years now and 200 episodes. And every so often, we like to talk to experts in whom I think you might find some interest. And today, I'm delighted to say I am joined by Jyn Stevens. She is a New York Times best-selling author, the author of such books as Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle, Fast, Feast, Repeat, and her latest publication, Clean-ish, which promotes the body's natural ability to self-clean. Jyn was a school teacher for 3 decades and has a bachelor's degree in education, a master's in natural sciences, and a doctor of education degree. Jyn also co-hosts 2 top-ranked podcasts, the Intermittent Fasting Podcast and a podcast called Life Lessons. I'm not sure where you get the time, but I'm delighted that you've made time for us today. Thank you so much, Jyn Stevens, and welcome to the Happy Habit Podcast.
Thank you. And one correction, my podcast, I was on the Intermittent Fasting Podcast as a co-host, but now I'm not on that one anymore. I have Intermittent Fasting Stories. That's me and where I interview intermittent fasters. So if you're looking for me, look for Intermittent Fasting Stories. And I've been doing that one since 2018, I think. And so we have hundreds of stories for you to listen to.
Great stuff. I actually want to talk to you about that a little bit later on because of this community that you've built up around the whole subject of intermittent fasting. Speaking of which, after having read your book, I want to address the issue of intermittent fasting. And can you first of all start off by defining exactly what intermittent fasting is for the listeners out there?
Right. The word fasting might sound scary because, you know, you associate it with like, you know, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights or something, or you think that it's, you know, extreme deprivation of some sort. It just brings that up, like monks fasting for days or something like that. But, you know, the word intermittent is important because intermittent means, you know, on and off, right? So we are fasting off and on. You know, maybe someone should have named it intermittent eating. That would have been a lot easier to explain to people. Basically, if someone is living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, they are not following the traditional, typical, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 7 days a week, you know, 6 small meals a day or 3 meals a day or whatever that might be. Where, you know, most people in today's society, in today's world, wake up, eat breakfast within probably most people within an hour of waking up, and then they continue to snack and have meals until they go to bed. The difference for most of us that do intermittent fasting is we delay when we start eating for the day. We have what we call our eating window, and that's when we have all of our food in that period of time called our eating window. And then we stop eating and we go to bed. And you know, because really everyone fasts overnight, right? You know, when you wake up in the morning and have your break fast, you're just having it first thing in the morning. I have my break fast later in the day. So I eat well. I nourish my body well. I eat delicious food every single day. I never have to diet. I just have changed when I eat rather than, you know, having to focus and count and worry about macros and track what I eat. I just eat till I'm satisfied in my eating window every day. And it's as simple as that.
And you have your own personal experience with the whole subject of intermittent fasting as a result of having lost 80 pounds in weight. And this was several years ago, and this precipitated your interest. And then this is why you took to the writing about your experience with intermittent fasting. How did you manage to go through that? And can you tell the listeners how long it took for you to arrive at that healthy weight that you're at now?
Well, I was, you know, like so many of your listeners, probably I have an experience with yo-yo dieting from my very first diet, which was calorie counting, really, after I got home from college my freshman year and had gained 15 pounds. And then I had, you know, ups and downs and yo-yos over the years. I did all the diets like everybody else, you know, anybody my age, starting with the low fat diets. And then we would do the low carb diets. Then we would try this diet and that diet. And you know, really, I like to call it, you know, being on the diet roller coaster for all those years, always up and down, always on and off. But I knew there had to be a better way. But over the years, you know, it got harder and harder to lose the weight. I have 2 boys. They're now 22 and 24. And when I finally reached my highest weight in 2014, I got back from a family trip, got on the scale because I hadn't liked what I had seen in the pictures. We've been on a cruise. We were, you know, hiking in the rainforest and going up the, you know, the Mayan ruins or whatever. I don't know if it was a rainforest, but you know, you know what I mean, going through the Mayan territory. And I couldn't move my body. And I was 210 pounds and I realized I was obese. And so it was 2014 and I realized it was time to do something. So I found my way. I had been dabbling with intermittent fasting, you know, because I tried everything along the way. When in 2009, I first heard about it. There were a few little blogs or books or eBooks that you could download or things like that. But I'd never thought of intermittent fasting as a lifestyle. I thought of it as a temporary diet that you did. And so I never did it consistently. I never had success. But that day in 2014, when I realized I had to do something, you know, it took me a few months to arrive at intermittent fasting. But by August of 2014, I was doing intermittent fasting consistently, and I've never stopped since. So my initial goal was to lose 75 pounds, which I lost by 2015. And then I went on to lose the last five slowly over time. And my body really changed over time too, as I continued to lose fat and also build muscle. But the best news of all is I've never yo-yoed since. You know, since I got to my goal, I have maintained within the same range and never had to buy new bigger clothes over the years ever again. You know, I've been through menopause now. I'm 52, almost 53. And I went through the menopausal transition with no problems and still wearing the same clothes that I've been wearing. So it's just amazing to me to have finally, you know, stopped that cycle that I lived for the first, you know, however many decades of my life, starting, you know, from the early 1990s, really the late 1980s is when I first started dieting in college. But from the late 1980s to 2014, I struggled up and down, always the ups getting higher. And then from 2014 to 2015, here I am in the same maintenance range. Every season I pull out my clothes from the last year and they still fit. It's amazing.
Well, to give you your dues, and in order to paint a picture for the listeners, you certainly do not look anything near your age. I would have put you at 40, not 52. So credit to your lifestyle and your choice of intermittent fasting, which clearly has had a positive impact. Could I ask you just to flesh out for myself and the listeners, what does an average day of intermittent fasting look like as far as your meals are concerned?
Perfect. Yep. And I want to point out, this is really going to be very individual because, you know, there's a saying, we're each a study of one. And that's very true when it comes to intermittent fasting as well. When it comes to when you're going to have your eating window, you know, I have a late afternoon, early evening eating window. That's how I feel my best. Some people feel better with an early in the day eating window. Some people feel better with a midday eating window. So you just really have to figure out how you feel best. You know, don't try to do exactly what I'm doing. It might not be what's right for you. And that's also true when it comes to the foods that you eat and the foods that make you feel great. We're all different. There's bio-individuality in what you eat. But for me, you know, I wake up in the morning and I have black coffee first thing, nothing added to it. I'm a big proponent of something that I actually coined the term the clean fast, if anyone's heard that. We came up with that in one of my Facebook groups. I believe it was around 2017 when we started using that terminology. And I love that the terminology is now out there. You know, people say clean fasting now, and that completely came from us, the idea of fasting clean, because there was so much confusion in the fasting world about what you could or couldn't have during the fast. So based on what we understood about what were our goals, why are we fasting, right? What were the things we wanted to accomplish? We're like, well, if we want to have, you know, increased autophagy and we wanted to tap into our fat stores for fuel and we want to lower our insulin levels, which helps us tap into our fat stores, then there are certain things that you don't want to consume that actually, you know, people say, oh, you can have cream or, oh, you can have, you know, whatever in your coffee. But those things actually will get in the way of the fasting goals. So I stick to the clean fast. So it's black coffee, nothing in it, no matter what you hear. And I'll switch over. Like right now, I've got my Topo Chico. So I'm having my sparkling water, unflavored. You can also have plain water, no flavors added. You could have plain tea. I'm not a tea drinker, but if you are, you can drink plain tea. Avoid the herbal teas that have, you know, the sweet flavors and the food flavors. You know, like I used to drink apple cinnamon delight, and that is not a clean fast, you know, type tea because it's food flavored. So I stick to the clean fast, and I just have those beverages, and I have fabulous energy until it's time to open my eating window. And usually, I would say it's probably sometime after 3 p.m. for me. You know, it could be earlier. I had brunch with girlfriends over the weekend, last weekend, because friends were in town and we went out to eat. So I ate it, started at 1, opened my window at 1. Some days I might be really, really busy. Like today, I'm recording a podcast at 3 and probably won't be done till 4:30. So I'll open my window after that. I usually start with some kind of a snack, and then later I'll have my dinner. I don't always, but most of the time I cook dinner at home. I like to eat. I'll eat with my husband. We'll have a nice dinner, maybe a little something sweet after dinner, glass of wine. And then I don't like officially open and close and count and track my window anymore. I just really just go by how the day ends up being. Probably my eating window most days is anywhere from 1 to 6 hours, probably usually more around the 5 hour mark. But I mean, there might be an odd day here and there that's closer to 1 hour, and then another day where it might be closer to 7 hours.
You said you don't exclusively specifically track your intake per se anymore.
But I don't track any of my intake.
But intuitively, would you be conscious or unconsciously aware of, let's say, your calorie intake?
Not even the least little bit. No. Right. There's a phrase that was coined by Dr. Bert Hearing. He's one of the first fasting gurus out there that did some writing about fasting. And he had a book called The Fast Five Diet and Lifestyle. And that book came out, I'm not sure, maybe around 2009. It was one of the first things I read. And he had the 5 hour eating window. That's how he just kind of came up with it for himself and then wrote the book. And the 5 hour eating window was his magic sweet spot. But he wrote another book called Appetite Correction. And that one came out, I think it came out in 2015. And I remember reading it, and the concept is so simple, and you really understand it when you think about animals and babies, for example. You know, babies are born knowing how much food to eat. You know, I had two boys, and I remember, you know, feeding them, and it didn't matter how many ounces you're supposed to feed them. If they had had enough, they stopped eating. They didn't care there was this much left in the bottle. They'd had enough. And one of my sons had these lips he'd push his lips out. He was not going to eat another bite. He knew he'd had enough. Whereas there were other times when he would drink the whole bottle and he was still hungry. He needed more to eat that day. And I didn't say, I'm sorry that you had your allocated amount. You know, I fed him more food. So we're born with those, you know, functioning hunger and satiety signals to let us know when we've had enough. I mean, the whole concept of calories didn't even get invented until, you know, just over 100 years ago. Prior to that, people didn't like die in the streets because they didn't know how much they were eating. You know, they ate until they were satisfied and then they stopped. And so when you have appetite correction, and intermittent fasting does help you get back in tune with those hunger and satiety signals, it's amazing because you are just like, oh, I still have food on my plate, but I've had enough and I'm going to stop. And when we learn to listen to our bodies, we don't want to feel overly full. So I have not counted a single calorie other than when I was doing some alternate daily fasting, and there's like a down day approach where you have like a 500 calorie down day. I haven't done that since 2016. So I eat every day, but other than an alternate daily fasting approach, like a 5-2 or actual alternate daily fasting, or 4-3, where you're having those low calorie down days, alternated with up days. Other than that, I mean, I haven't counted a single calorie. And again, I haven't done that since 2016. So I eat till I'm satisfied and my body knows. And I can always tell, you know, there have been seasons over the time where I, like maybe it's the holidays and I can feel my honesty pants getting a little snug. And I'm like, whoop, all right, my pants are a little snug. I'm just going to maybe have a little tighter window for a little while, not as much dessert. And sure enough, pretty soon my honesty pants fit again. I haven't actually weighed myself since, I think the last time I weighed was 2017. So wow. I haven't weighed myself. I don't count anything. I'm just living my life. And I think it's how we're supposed to be.
Well, you're obviously enjoying consuming your food. That's one of the benefits of this intermittent fasting regime or lifestyle, for want of a better term, because we've said it's not a diet. Can you detail some of the other benefits, as far as your own experience is concerned, of adopting this intermittent fasting lifestyle?
Well, the thing about intermittent fasting that is why I would never stop, is I like to call it the health plan with the side effect of weight loss. And are you familiar with the work of Dr. Mark Mattson at all? Have you seen any of his?
I haven't heard of his name, no.
He is one of the researchers out there. He worked at Johns Hopkins. He's now retired from Johns Hopkins. I think he's still connected with them. It's like an adjunct kind of, or, you know, an emeritus type position, but he worked for Johns Hopkins, and his specialty is neurological research, but he has been an intermittent faster since the 1980s. And throughout his neurological research, he has really become a big believer in the neurological benefits, health benefits, and longevity benefits of intermittent fasting. In fact, he just released a book in February of this year. Let me see if I can look at it on my shelf over there. The Intermittent Fasting Revolution by Dr. Mark Mattson. And it is the absolute best book out there if you want the science, like the journal science, like you're reading, you know, the New England Journal of Medicine type writing. Sure. His book is the absolute best for that, because he has researched intermittent fasting as a hard scientist and has compiled it all together. You know, it's not just about neurological benefits. There are cardiovascular benefits. There are metabolic benefits. So many that it's hard to even list them all. And like, it can reverse insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. People who are type 2 diabetic can absolutely reverse type 2 diabetes by getting their insulin levels down and normalizing how their body works. So it's really, you know, I came to it for the weight loss, but stick around for the health and longevity benefits. And so I would encourage everyone who's considering intermittent fasting to absolutely not even think about it as, I'm going to do this because I would like to lose weight. I would like you to think of it as, I would like to do intermittent fasting because I'd like to age well. I want to be the healthiest I can be in my body, and I want to feel good every single day, and I might even lose some weight. And so that's the way I would like people to think about intermittent fasting.
And what about then the two things then of temptation and self-discipline? You come across to me like somebody through experience has arrived at the conclusion that you have to be self-disciplined over the long term. What advice would you have for people out there listening now who would love to have your degree of commitment, not just over the short and medium term, but the long term, and then would love to reap some of the benefits and some of the gains that you have enjoyed over the years?
Well, here's what's really funny, and I did not invent this phrasing, but it's powerful. You know, we all have dieted a million times. People have done diets. Diets are easy in contemplation, but hard in execution. The longer you go, the harder they get. Intermittent fasting is the flip side of that. It's hard in contemplation. Like you just said, oh, I have to have so much discipline and willpower to do it. It's the opposite. It's easy in execution. I want you to think about willpower as something that's finite, right? You have in your day a particular amount of it. And so, you know, if you're doing a typical diet, you wake up in the morning and you're eating your diet meals and your diet food, and you're always thinking about it, and you're having to have willpower from the minute you wake up all day long, and you're making these food decisions all the time. Should I eat? Is it time to eat? Should I eat this? Should I eat more of this? Is this in my diet plan? With intermittent fasting, I don't make any of those food decisions. Zero. It doesn't require any willpower at all. I just know that my window is closed right now. And if my husband walked in with pizza or something, I would not even think about, oh, I wish I could eat. I don't want to eat it right now because I know I wouldn't feel as well after I ate that pizza right now, later in the day, or as I would if I delayed the pizza and had it at dinner time. So I don't have to struggle with willpower all day long because my window's closed. Then when my window opens, I get to eat whatever delicious food I want to eat without thinking about, you know, is it time to eat? Yes, it's time to eat. My window's open. And, you know, can I eat this? Yes, I can. And I know that I'm going to stop when I'm satisfied. I'm not going to eat too much pizza because I'm not going to feel good. And another amazing thing that happens to intermittent fasters is you might look at the pizza and think, I don't really want that pizza. I need to have some vegetables. And the Brussels sprouts start to look appealing. You know, my taste in food has completely changed. It's not because I made myself do it or felt like I should. It's just when you're in tune with your body's signals. You know, again, animals know what to eat instinctively. They don't have to be told. Like, you don't go out in the wild and say, all right, squirrels, we're going to have a lesson on what squirrels are supposed to eat. They know. And so we know as humans, if we're eating real food, and we are in touch with our body's hunger and satiety signals, we also get some clues about, you know, like one day I might be craving protein. You know, my body's sending me a message. I need to eat like some more, like some steak today or something. And other days I'm like, I don't really feel like that. I would like to have a salad today. And so when we really tune in, what sounds good at first, when you start, maybe it's pizza and Big Macs and fries because you've denied yourself that so long. But then eventually you're like, that just doesn't appeal. So like the first time an intermittent faster is like, I used to love Pop-Tarts and I bought a box of Pop-Tarts and tasted them. They tasted disgusting. Really, you're like, congratulations. You are on your way to no longer, you know, being controlled by what we think you want to eat. You're listening to your body.
It's interesting. I can relate to what you were saying there. I was just thinking when you were speaking that I myself would go without breakfast maybe 2-3 days a week. So I would go, let's say I would fast from 7 in the evening until probably midday the following day. And once I've made that decision not to have breakfast, I'm not hungry. I don't feel hungry. And I can ride that extra few hours until my window for eating opens up without too much duress as such. But it's a conscious decision I make that once I've made the decision the previous night, no breakfast tomorrow, I won't eat now till midday. It's actually not too bad.
It's true. And so people, like I said, people think it's going to be so hard and they're going to be hangry. But the amazing thing is I was certainly hangry when I was trying to low calorie diet, and I would start my morning with a little diet breakfast, and then I would have a little snack, and then I'm starving and having a latte, and then I'm ready for lunch, and then I'm starving. And by the afternoon, I felt like I needed a nap. So I'd have another latte, and then I was cranky. And then evening comes around and you get home and you're starving because you've been eating these tiny little meals all day, and you're actually hungrier than if you had just fasted. And then you like dive into the food and then you're like, well, I've ruined it. And then the next day you start again. And it's the same old, same old. But with fasting, you're going through the day, your body, your insulin is low because you're fasting clean. And when insulin is low, we're able to tap into our fat stores well. So you know, you're well fueled from your own fat stores. So you're not starving. You have plenty of fuel. You feel good. Your body's producing ketones that fuels your brain well. You have great energy. You don't have to eat low carb in order to get into ketosis during the fasting. And once your body is adapted, that doesn't happen on day one. But once you're adapted, your body becomes metabolically flexible and you can use whatever fuel source is available. If you're eating, then that's your fuel source. If you're fasting, your body has an internal fuel source because, you know, we're supposed to be able to flip that metabolic switch as humans. Unfortunately, though, most of us have lost that metabolic flexibility due to the modern lifestyle. And so it takes a while to build that back up. So when you start intermittent fasting, you're not going to feel amazing on day one or day two, most likely. You have to build up that fasting muscle, if you will. And so in my New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, I have a period of time called the 28-day fast start. And your only goal is to fast clean and let your body adapt. And understand that it's going to be more of a challenge. You're not to expect weight loss in the first 28 days at all. You're just letting your body adapt and understanding there'll be challenging days. Like you might not be able to do your normal workout routine in the fasted state when you're not adapted yet. But I'm at the point now where, you know, I can do anything in the fasted state and I have great energy and I don't, you know, crash afterwards and I just wait and eat later in my eating window and I feel great.
I'm glad that you mentioned two things there. You mentioned modern lifestyle, and that influences us today, negatively speaking, and also scientists. You mentioned the science earlier on. My own background is in biochemistry, so that's why I've taken a keen interest in this particular subject. In that intermittent fasting space, some of the notions have come from scientists. They have referred back in time to how our ancestors back in Paleolithic times would have consumed their food and their diet. And very often they would have gone long stretches of time without any food at all. So really, intermittent fasting is just us going back to the way nature decreed all those millennia ago. Would you agree with that?
Well, we're not designed, our bodies are not designed to be in the fed state constantly. You know, even if you just go back a few generations, this is not how your great, great grandparents ate, the way people are eating now. You know, they might get up and have something to eat. It wasn't like a giant breakfast, and they certainly weren't snacking during the day. You know, people didn't snack between meals. And we've gotten to the point where people are constantly you know, like nursing a hot milkshake, that latte that everybody's having. So people always have something flavored or something with calories going in their mouth from the minute they wake up till like bedtime. They're sipping their flavored this or their diet soda. And so that keeps your insulin up, because even like a diet soda, for example, with zero calories, you're like, well, that's, you know, that's perfectly fine. It's zero calories. Well, except that it's not, because we have something called the cephalic phase insulin response. And your brain tastes that sweetness. It sends your taste buds, send the sweetness to your brain. Your brain says, oh, I know what sweetness is. Something sweet is coming in, something that has a glucose load, because in nature, everything sweet has a high glucose load, honey, fruit, whatever it might be. So your body pumps out some insulin in response to that sweet taste. That's called the cephalic phase insulin response. And it's just the way our bodies work. Our bodies have not caught up to the fact that, oh, it's 2022, that's a Diet Coke. I don't need to pump out some insulin, because there are. So that leads to a lot of metabolic confusion, because now your body is expecting these sugary calories that never come. So you've pumped out the insulin, but you don't need it. And so you become insulin resistant over time. So really the beverages, I think if everybody in the entire world, don't even fast. I mean, I love intermittent fasting. I think people should fast, but even if no one did intermittent fasting and all everyone did was just stick to plain water, black coffee, plain tea, and stopped all these flavored and sweetened and artificially sweetened beverages all the time, I think we'd see a dramatic difference in the health of the world.
Ireland, as well as the rest of Western Europe and North America, have this love affair with sugar. I think we need to, if we're going to make it a real change, we have to individually and collectively adopt a strategy whereby we are conscious of what we're putting on our plates and what we're consuming. And I mentioned the term diet being, in my mind, a dirty word, because really diet is short term, it's lifestyle is long term, and lifestyle is something which you live, and you're proof of its success over the last 8 years since you adopted this intermittent fasting regime.
Exactly. And you know, diet is what you eat, and intermittent fasting is when you eat. So anyone who calls intermittent fasting a diet is missing the point, because again, it's when you eat. You can choose to eat in any way that feels right to you, whether you're someone coming in with the standard American diet or the standard Irish diet these days, or whether you're someone who already follows a very clean lifestyle, or whether you're keto or whatever you are. However you choose to eat is fine within the paradigm of intermittent fasting.
Tell me about this amazing community that you referred to earlier on through one of your podcasts. And I've seen evidence of this online too, where people who adopt the intermittent fasting regime and this new lifestyle, they show pictures of before and after, and they give you updates on their success and their progress along the way.
I think community makes such a tremendous difference in success, because, you know, you might be the only person you know who's doing intermittent fasting. Maybe you're getting pushback from people around you, and maybe you just, you know, want to talk to people who understand what you're going through. So I started my very first intermittent fasting community in 2015, and I wasn't trying to grow like an intermittent fasting empire, or I hadn't even written any books. I was just an elementary teacher at that point, but I wanted to have a community where I could be myself and talk to other people that I knew that were doing intermittent fasting. So I started with a very tiny Facebook group that grew over the years until, when I left Facebook, I had a combined membership of almost 500,000 members. And the unfortunate part was it became very, very difficult to manage that many people. You know, it got too big for me to manage it. And I couldn't interact with people anymore. All I could do was like management and post approval and putting out fires here and there. So I left Facebook in March of 2021, and I have a separate community. It's a paid community, so it's a lot smaller. We have just over 5,000 members now. We're on a different platform off of Facebook. But if you go to jenstevens.com/community, you can connect with me there, and also with the community. And like I said, it's jenstevens.com/community. Jen is G-I-N, and Stevens is with a P-H. And the beauty of the community is, you know, we're there for all of it. You know, whether you're having a hard day, whether you're at a plateau, whether you want to celebrate your success, whether you have a question like, oh no, we're going out to lunch tomorrow, but I also have to go out to dinner, what do I do? You know, we're there for all of that. And so we're truly a community. you know, I'm not there to give you personalized and, you know, intermittent fasting coaching. I mean, yeah, yes, I will coach you through my replies to you and, through comments, but the community is there to support one another. And I'm part of the community. You know, I'm the guide on the side, but since so is everyone else. Someone might ask a question and, you know, I don't have to give the answer because five other people have answered it, you know, based on their experiences. And so, you know, that, together we're all stronger. And it's just a place where you can feel, you know, supported and like you're part of something. And it is just, it's the best community I've ever been a part of because, you know, where everyone is kind, everyone is supportive, and we all just want to be there for one another.
And can readers or can listeners get access to your books via your website also?
Well, you can buy my books anywhere books are sold. Well, Delay Don't Deny, my first book, is self-published. That one's only available through Amazon or Audible. So there's the, you can get the paperback or you can get the Kindle version, or you can get the Audible version. Fast, Feast, Repeat, was traditionally published. You can get that anywhere books are sold. And the same thing with my most recent book, Cleanish, which is not an intermittent fasting book. Cleanish, the subtitle is Eat Mostly Clean, Live Mainly Clean, and Unlock Your Body's Natural Ability to Self-Clean. Intermittent fasting is a piece of that self-cleaning, but it's also about the nutrients and the foods that you're choosing and the chemicals that you're not putting into your bodies. And again, I'm clean-ish because perfection is not required. But as you start to feel better, you want to feel even better. And the foods that you choose can make a huge difference. And even, you know, the chemicals you put on your skin, what you use to clean your kitchen counters, you know, the laundry detergent you use, all those things can have a bigger impact than you might expect. So even if someone is not thinking they want to do intermittent fasting, but they'd like to clean up their lives, look for Cleanish.
Great stuff. Well, certainly your lifestyle, whatever you're doing, be it keeping yourself clean and what you're consuming and intermittent fasting, it's working because you do not look your age at all. Like, I can give you that compliment right there. Jin, you're a great communicator. You'd know full well that you had 3 decades in the education system in America. I really appreciate you taking the time for joining me on the podcast today. And that website, one more time for listeners if they want to reach out to you.
Well, my website is jinstevens.com, but if you're interested in the community, jinstevens.com/community. And also on jinstevens.com, there are links to my books, also links to my podcasts. You can find them there.
Great. So Jin Stevens, thank you so much.
Thank you.